Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. Julia Duffy spent 7 years portraying the self-involved rich maid Stephanie Vanderkellen on Bob Newhart's hit sitcom, Newhart. Julia was hilarious in the part and the critics knew it. She earned Emmy Award nominations for her entire run on the show. But there's much more to Julia than just her work on Newhart. She's also worked with her fellow Minnesotans, the Coen brothers, not to mention comedy superstars Jordan Peele and Keegan-Michael Key. Oh, and lest we forget, she was a cast member on Designing Women. And that doesn't even cover Julia's theater career. She has performed in more than 20 plays on and off Broadway. Julia has written about all of these career highs and lows in her memoir, Bad Auditions. She hopes the book will help her fellow actors know what to do and what not to do when they are auditioning for a part. She joined us from her home in Los Angeles. We talked about her iconic roles, including her breakout performance as Stephanie and how she landed the part.
Well, it was a guest role and I was asked to read for it. And I was a little nervous because I'd just done a guest role on Cheers and the synopsis of the story sounded so much like the one I'd done on Cheers. My husband said, "You adore Bob Newhart. Are you crazy?" And I thought, you know, it really is a very different kind of character. It just sounded like the same sort of plot. It really wasn't. And I mean, I didn't read with him, but I knew his work so well. I knew what made him funnier. I knew what worked with him to get a reaction from him.
Do you know what it's like to feel wild desire, boiling passion, to want carnal knowledge of a total stranger?
Sure, sort of.
Mr. Loudon, as a man, what would you say if I told you that every time I see you, I ignite? That your eyes and your lips, even your teeth, make my heart race and my blood boil? What would you say if I told you that it's everything I can do to keep my hands from exploring every part of your body?
Well, many, many times, writers inspire a certain awe.
Oh, no! I wasn't talking about you!
I knew that!
There were a lot of changes made to your character when you joined the cast of Newhart. What was your role in the development of Stephanie's character?
Well, I took every chance I had because actors do have ideas, especially because they're very involved with their characters. And it's always a delicate matter to make suggestions to writers or complaints to writers. And we had the best writers possible on Newhart. But still, I had ideas about the character. And also, I didn't know why anybody would think she was funny if she was just a snooty snob. Mm. I felt that she had to be in some way unaware of her own actions. You had to free up the audience to laugh. You never wanted the audience to go, oh, when she said something. It was always clear to me what to do so that that didn't happen.
Hmm. Yeah. There was such great chemistry between your character and Peter Scolari's Michael Harris character. Did that come naturally to you both, or did it develop over time?
I have to say that I think everybody who ever worked with Peter had chemistry with him. Peter brings the chemistry. He always did. It was instant as far as I was concerned. Our comedy sensibility was identical.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, Stephanie, this is Michael Harris. Michael, Stephanie Vanderkellen.
How do you do?
Very well, thank you. How do you do?
Excellent.
Michael is the producer of that show Dick was on, Book Talk.
Oh, you're a producer.
For 3 years and 4 days.
Your wife and children must be very proud of you.
I'm not married.
Oh.
Stephanie works for us here at the Inn.
Really?
Well, if you could call it working, I have all my nights, afternoons, and weekends free.
Stephanie, I know we've just met, and forgive me if I'm moving a little too fast, but would you let me take you out for Manhattan sometime?
I'd let you take me to Manhattan sometime.
Bob, of course, was the master of talking on the phone. I mean, he did that with his comedy and his comedy albums, talking on the phone to someone, and you just hear his end of the conversation. And early on in Newhart, when you joined the cast, there were a fair number of times when you were talking to your parents on the phone. Did you find that difficult to pull off?
Well, it was really difficult when he was watching me. And the first time I had to do one, it was a very funny phone call. It was beautifully written, and the things I was saying to my parents were very funny. And he was walking across the stage, and he stopped and watched me. And I thought, I'm being watched by the master of comedy phone calls. And I said, stop watching me. And he said, it's harder than it looks, isn't it? And I said, yes, you're doing the comedic timing and yet at the same time the realistic timing of the person on the other end saying something, so you have to leave a space. And I had no idea. I always thought his phone calls were very funny, but after that I thought, oh, he's a genius.
Yeah, let's rewind to 1990, the series finale of Newhart, which is considered by many to be the best TV series finale ever. I would certainly say it was. How did you react when you learned how Newhart was going to end?
I thought it was a brilliant idea. I thought it was hilarious and perfect. And a lot of people forget this, but this was the season of Dallas where the whole thing was a dream. And it was such an outrageous meta kind of thing to do. Nobody had seen that on a network TV show before. To me, it just made it even hipper and funnier and groundbreaking.
Absolutely. And I'm curious, what did people know? Like, did the audience have any inkling of what was happening before the actual scene, before the actual lights went on in the bedroom set?
No, the audience had no idea. My family were visiting me. They came out for the last episode, and I didn't tell them anything. And it was wonderful to experience their reaction. You know, they'd seen every episode. They'd seen both shows. It was really something. I mean, it just went on, the roar from the audience. It was perfect.
Honey. Honey. Honey, wake up. You won't believe the dream I just had. But don't you want to hear about it?
All right, Bob. What is it?
Well, I was an innkeeper in this crazy little town in Vermont.
I'm happy for you. Good night.
Nothing made sense in this place. I mean, the maid was an heiress. Her husband talked in alliteration. The handyman kept missing the point of things. And then there were these three woodsmen, but only one of them talked.
That settles it. No more Japanese food before you go to bed.
I'm curious. I think I've read in a couple of places that Bob's wife, Ginny, came up with the idea for the ending. Is that the case? Do you know?
She did. Of course, our writers should get a lot of credit also. But I do know that it was years before that she had the idea one night. And they were driving home from a party or something, and she said, you know how you should end Newhart. So it was a long time before the writers also had a similar idea. But she was most definitely the first. And I remember when Bob walked in, and it had only been a little while since it was announced that it was the final season and we weren't coming back. And he said, Ginny had a great idea. And I said, oh, my God. And he said, do you think the writers will like it? And I said, yeah.
Yeah. A few years ago, you wrote a book called Bad Auditions. Why did you decide to write it?
Well, it was more than a few years ago when I started it. It was almost 10 years ago.
Okay.
I was in L.A., and it was during pilot season, which is a very stressful time. And I wanted to go to New York, but you kind of, this was before self-tapes, you really had to stay in town. And I was just thinking about it, and I thought, I should write, I mean, I've spent all these years going to auditions. I should spread what I've learned.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, but there's so many actors. I've written books about acting and getting in the business and auditioning. And then it occurred to me, I should just write about the bad ones because something was learned every time. And I knew that I had a message to pass on, and I really wanted to pass it on. So I started writing it then. It was a long time until I actually turned it into something. It is, I do feel it's out of date though, because the business has changed so drastically in the last few years, even since it was published, that there aren't even in-person auditions anymore. And of course, that's where most of the wisdom supposedly comes from in my writing.
In your book, you wrote specifically about an audition, one of your auditions that happened about 40 years ago. Can you tell us about it?
I went to an audition for a role I thought I was just perfect for. And the director had recently had his first hit with an indie movie, and he kind of made a star out of the ingenue who was in it. And they didn't give you the script ahead of time. That was common, too, if you can believe it. So I got there early so that I could look at it. And the receptionist was chatting with me while I waited to go in. And she said, oh, you're so perfect for this part, but I have to tell you, he really likes brunettes. And I thought, okay, why are you telling me this before I go in? So I went in and I had looked at these two scenes, and in one of the scenes, the boy does all the talking, like all the talking. And that was the scene he chose to read with me. And he said, I want you to remember that she's a wonderful listener. She really listens. No one's ever listened to him in his whole life, and that's why he falls for her. So the boy has a monologue, and then I reply. So he reads the first line, and then he goes, blah, 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 and said the last line. And my job was to be a really good listener in this scene. And he skipped the entire monologue and just went to the one cue line that I had. And at times like that, you might as well just speak up because you're so screwed anyway. That's what I learned from that. I should have absolutely insisted on doing it again, begged him to do the other scene. But also, I had a lot of time before this appointment, and I could have seen the movie. It was still in theaters. So that was my mistake. I should have gone in knowing his sensibility. I had the time, and if you have the time, you've got to do whatever you can do to be as prepared as possible. There's no such thing as being overprepared.
You worked on, I think, it was season 6 of Designing Women. You were a cast member for season 6 of that show. You played Allison Sugar Baker.
You bring your baby to work with you?
Well, sure. You know, most of the time she stays upstairs.
Well, we'll just back burner that for now. My, my, my. This is not bad. Some new paint and a little carpeting, and I'm just glad to see I haven't been swindled since I single-handedly put together the funding for this acquisition.
Oh, I thought they said your daddy bought it for you.
What was that experience like?
Well, myself and Jan were replacing characters, Jan Hooks.
Right.
So that was interesting. Not per se, but, you know, the same type of thing, because they wanted to keep the same dynamics, the same four sort of energies that they'd had before with the characters. So it was quite a ride. It was difficult. It was tricky. And it was a challenging set to be on. Just the sort of kind of last minute catching up all the time with the scripts. I wasn't used to that. But the good thing about it is that I learned so much from every single one of those actors.
Do you feel like there's something that you haven't done yet, something you haven't accomplished, but are still yearning to do?
I wouldn't mind doing more drama in the film world as much as I've done on stage. I don't know. I just did something that I think satisfied a lot of things that I still wanted to do, which you're not going to see until the summer, I don't think. Mrs. American Pie for Apple Plus. It's a brilliant show in every way. I can't say enough about it. The writing is incredible. The actors, oh my God. It's a dream job.
Mm. Can you tell us a bit about Mrs. American Pie?
Well, it comes from a book of the same name. I think we're keeping the title, a novel that is actually very different, but it was the jumping off point for it. It's Palm Beach Society Ladies, played by Kristen Wiig, Allison Janney, Laura Dern, Carol Burnett.
Wow.
And Kristen is somebody who wants to get into Palm Beach Society. 1969 is when it takes place, right before the world changes, but they are very much doing things the way they always have been. They're a throwback. And Ricky Martin is in it. He is the pool boy. And oh, the things that happen. It's a very lavish show, absolutely lavish. The balls, the charity balls, it's so beautiful to look at. And it's so funny.
We're looking forward to it. Julia Duffy, thank you very much for joining us today. And thank you for all the laughs you've given us over the years. We are looking forward to Mrs. American Pie.
You're welcome. It was nice to talk to you.
Julia Duffy is the prolific actress, probably best known for her role as Stephanie Vanderkillen on the hit sitcom Newhart. Her memoir is called Bad Auditions. You can find out more about Julia at wpr.org/beta.
I just think this album, to me, is very much like the monolith in 2001.
Coming up, music writer John Kruth joins us to discuss one of the most popular albums of all time, Pink Floyd's The Dark Side of the Moon. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.